Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, it is fall and there's footballs in the air.
That's right, it's fall and football. The Big Reds has avenged the loss from last year.
Took that show on the road all the way to the great state of Illinois. Played the largest high school in the state. The campus was amazing.
That was the largest high school in the state?
Largest high school in the state, man.
Wow.
The band, all right? Sideline to sideline. Length of the field. Band members. I would imagine it might have been 300 people in their band, man. It was incredible. They had so many various facilities for their sport. They named off some of the competition league championships they won. Fencing, water polo, lacrosse, field hockey, you name it, they participated in it because they have so many students, they can field every conceivable sport it is to be played in high school.
So Muskegon mashed the team like that, basically. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah. 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 They mashed them, man. It was like, you know, when they showed up, and I met, there were, I counted them, they have 70 players on the varsity. 70.
No JV pull-ups.
No. No JVs.
So everybody probably playing one play, one or two plays.
They platoon. They play platoon football.
The whole 11.
Yeah. For the most part, you know, we have interchangeable parts. But it's still somewhat Iron Man football because we have kids that's playing defense and offense. The most amazing thing that happened that night was the accolades that was paid to the Big Reds by the PA announcer.
For the other team?
For the other team.
What did he say?
When the Big Reds showed up, he says, "We have the honor in this stadium to show you the most winningest team in the state of Michigan's history of high school football."
Oh, yeah, that's big. They earned it, though.
Okay. And we like to give them a warm welcome. Stand up. They cheered. They clapped. And, of course, the Big Red Nation showed up.
Yeah,
all right, Big Reds travel, baby.
They had that bus, the party bus. They were in there.
Oh, man. But it was a lot of folks just came, man. It was, and there were people in the community that had really no allegiance to any team. They just heard about Muskegon. They showed up. And, matter of fact, a couple guys sit behind us, and it was like, you know, we watch a lot of high school football. He says, but we've never seen a team perform at this level like these kids have. Because after the first drive, I mean, they had receivers, man, 6'3", 6'4". They were huge. They had big players at speed, but our defense just neutralized them. After that first drive, that's all they scored was 7 points.
Wow.
And the Big Reds took over. Defensive backs played absolutely fantastic.
I'm going to tell you this. That's been the difference the last 3 or 4 years.
Yes, it has. That's been our Achilles heel. You know, I mean, just last year as an example.
Yes.
They couldn't run the football on us.
They couldn't.
But they threw the ball 60 times.
They did.
Yes, they did.
The same team.
The same team. And they won the football.
Because we had them 21-7.
21-7.
Last year. And they went up 28-7. 28-21.
28-21.
At the half.
Yep. And it was a battle back and forth.
That's right.
And we were driving, you know, last play of the game and had to settle to try to tie it with a field goal that we didn't make.
Yep.
But it was nothing like that.
I know Jefferson had the last drive, so I know he was thinking about that drive the whole game on Saturday. He was like,
well, the first drive, he the only one that carried the football.
He's like, I'm getting it in myself.
That first drive, nobody else touched the rock but him.
He was determined.
Took it all the way down.
I heard it was like a 70 yard touchdown one time.
It was only 1 yard, but he had a big run of like 63 yards.
Yes, it. Wow. Okay.
But after that, you know, their defense started looking towards the middle, and that's when the other Jefferson boy and the McCall had them ends open. And once they turned up field, man, had them gold cleats on, you can see them with them gold cleats going down the field.
Those are track athletes.
Where they get this speed from?
Gold cleats go up the field.
But that was a very good football team, man.
Man.
I won't take nothing from them. I'm saying we'll be hard-pressed to see another team that well-coached and with the kind of athletes they had. They were really a good football team. So the score is 28-7, but it was a dogfight. It was a dogfight.
So Muskegon has made the adjustment in their defense now, so they're going to be
they're
the team to beat now.
Yes, sir.
Every year they are. So this like this time, everybody says it might be the year, but the way you just explained that, and what I saw last year, I saw on the internet this time, so it's a difference. When I saw it in the flesh, I was like, those guys are big. And they kept on throwing over the top over our DBs and corners, and we like we played a little bit too safe.
Not this year.
Now we was jamming them receivers, those big guys. Sir. They was jamming those big guys.
Seen guys breaking up passes. You know, it was the timing. You could tell.
We had the reads, right?
It was you know, they was neck and neck. And I've seen in the past where our DBs failed to turn, find the ball, realize where it's at. But I could sense what they were doing was watching the receiver. And the receiver will tell you when that ball is in the air, as long as you're running with him and can see his face. And it was like timing was perfect.
Impeccable.
They would just get up there, knock it away. And had some picks. I got to tell you this. The JV game was a dogfight too. All right? And again, we was out. Man, we had a kid intercepted it on the one-yard line on our defense, Blue Reds defense. Gone down the sideline, man. Nobody even close to him. And one of our kids pulled a clip, called it back. And it was like that would have been one of the most – impressive interceptions we've had seen all year. 99 yards. They're getting ready to go in for the score. That DB stepped in, man, because evidently they're getting coached up too. Yep, we just had a kid that was inexperienced and don't realize that when you're a player that's gone, you let him go.
Let him go.
You don't need to hit nobody.
Don't hit nobody.
Don't touch nobody. So, yeah, I'm excited. Looking forward to, this week's game. The Fruitport Trojans coming to town, and we got to be ready.
Yeah, that's right. You never know what can happen. It's conference football.
That's it.
They probably worried that the Jolly Red Giant is coming. They're coming to town.
Yeah, and everybody always want to play the best game against the Big Reds. So you don't take nobody lightly, regardless what the record is. Every game. You got to play every game like it's the championship game. Got to win them.
So, you don't know
Big Reds look good, man.
Oh, that's great. That's great. The trade is done.
Yep. I heard the trade had been finalized. They throwed Cleveland another draft pick. So that kind of sealed the deal.
Wow.
I think it was for 2019.
So they got the LeBron lottery set up already.
Yeah.
Gonna leave LeBron, and we're gonna try to grab somebody probably during the season.
Yeah. Now, the other piece of this is.
The guy from the Pelicans?
The big guy?
Yeah, what's his name?
Oh, man. Anthony, he's a Davis.
No, the other one.
There's another kid.
He was at Sacramento. Marcus Cousins.
Oh, DeMarcus. DeMarcus at the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Okay. I know they had moved him.
From Sacramento to the Pelicans.
Okay, that's where he went.
So, I guess that's not working out with those Twin Towers because, DeMarcus had a ball. He wanted to dribble and everything.
I understand he's a hard guy to play
when he was in Kentucky, his daddy had to coach with him. The daddy had to follow him.
No, man.
That boy's not a problem child. He's a nutcase.
Not cool.
Sorry, radio.
And then they find the Lakers, huh? They find the Lakers $500,000.
Magic Johnson working with your boy PG-13.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he had a deal set up for him already. Like, look, out to Oklahoma, go there for a year. You come with me, or you come with me right now. You want to get this 1 year and get this other money? But I think the best deal is for him to wait.
Yeah, because they still had draft rights to him.
That's right, and a lot of rookies. They third year's up.
Okay.
On the Lakers team.
Okay.
So if they don't pan out, you got all that money that's freed up for them to extend them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the LeBron James sweepstakes, free agent money. You can bring Paul George and LeBron in. And then they got to be on the lookout for Westbrook. I don't know how long he tied to something, but he might.
Well, he just signed that mega contract, so I don't know. He might be locked in the OKC for a while, man. But, that was quite interesting to see how they they didn't blame Magic. They actually accused the GM of tampering with George. So I don't know if that was their way of taking Magic out of that scenario or what. But we do know that he was definitely had contact with George because they're friends.
That's what they do.
But in the big scheme of things, what is $500,000 to the Lakers organization?
$1 billion industry.
Yeah. It's nothing.
They blew at a party.
Plus, they told George, don't worry about it. Just go on over there and play your year out. We'll talk after the year is up and see what's happening. And speaking of L.A., there's another story about the Ball brothers, yeah. Man.
Melo, the baby brother. It's in the 10th grade, I think. He's in the 10th grade. I got the clip on it. Actually, DJ Q89 brought it to our attention because our show today is called Invest in Yourself and the Warren Buffett, channeling your Warren Buffett effect. So it says, you know, Melo Ball got his own shoe about to come out, okay? So with Melo Ball's shoe coming out, his father is trying to show his kids how to invest in themselves. I've been reading this book by, I believe it's Gordon Cardone, and he said, the best business to start is the business of yourself.
That makes sense to me.
So what Ball did is he said, my name is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a quote. It says, for the win, an article I have for USA Today, LeVar Ball is not concerned about the Melo's college eligibility. The NCAA ain't going to tell me explicit blank. Word.
Right.
So you fill in the blank, audience, or whatever that is. But this brother got three sons, one in the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He predicted that.
Yeah, he called it.
He called it.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, he crazy. Magic ain't going to go for that. Then we seen him hoop. We was like, oh, he hoop like Magic. He play like Jason Kidd. We like, he going to the Lakers.
You see the floor.
Yep.
You see the floor.
Then number two, his son is at UCLA following him up. Okay. And you got Melo, that's one of the top 50 sophomores in the country.
Okay.
So he like, I got money already. We're instant millionaires.
Yeah.
So why do my son need to go to college if I'm only going to try to worry about money? And I got a marketing plan to blow his name up. Now his name worth something.
But the crust of the story is that the NCAA is saying that because he has a shoe brand name, right?
That's right, sir.
That makes him ineligible to attend college on a scholarship.
Correct.
Now, does that make sense in today's world that if you took a guy like a Zuckerberg, for instance, who, you know, come up with this Facebook network, but yet he might have been on the chess team, for instance, he would be not able to participate on the chess team because he's starting this company with Facebook? I mean, that just goes totally against the spirit of entrepreneurs.
Man, sure do. Okay. Like, he's telling you to wait to be your best.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole, it's look, but look, Tony, that's how the whole institution of America is built. Like, okay, from 18 to 22, you want me to go to college.
Right.
Go to some type of training.
Okay.
So a different generation can phase out, so I don't push them out. So I understand that, but to be legitimate, I'm like, if I'm a business owner,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you want me to come into college?
Yeah.
So other students can see, like, wow, I can be on campus doing this? Making millions and getting an education so I can learn how to count my money and market myself better?
It's a win-win.
So what LeVar Ball said is this. The daddy said this, Lonzo. Lonzo said, well, we'll sit out a year or two, LeVar said, just to get stronger and faster, and then we'll go into the NBA training camp as a free agent. He's already got the narrative. He can play. He can play.
Well, yeah,
you see that he's doing that at 15 and 16. Don't think by any time he gets 17, 18, that he's not going to be playing 10 times better than what he is now. And everybody says, oh, he got to gain some weight. Why? What you have to be strong, it ain't got to be about weight. It's about the strength.
Okay.
Everybody else got to go because you've got to make some money, LeVar said. We need to make money, but we ain't got to go nowhere. All we got to do is train. They want to see whether you can make a shot. Whether you can run or you're strong, the game don't change. LeVar added, if we already got this narrative of being a good player and a top 10 pick as a high schooler, if you go to college and you don't perform, you can't do nothing but hurt yourself. So what I'm saying is I'm not going to make a big deal where I'm like, Melo definitely has to go to college in order to him succeed. You just got to be ready to play and do your job. So basically, they're promoting don't go to school.
Yeah.
If you don't let him go to school as a business owner, you telling me you was going to use me for capitalism.
That's it.
So I can make some money off of you. You can use a $6,000 check every 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah. We can capitalize off of you, but you can't come and capitalize off yourself. That's not going to work. Makes no sense at all.
And that's the whole thing I just said. The quote that I said was, the best business you can have, don't start a business. You are a business.
Yeah. Be a business.
You a business.
Right.
His daddy's in the term. In his own hood daddy way.
Okay.
Of speaking the truth.
Okay.
My son's and my name is a business already.
So what they're going to do is to force them to take an alternative course of action, which might be somewhat of a trailblazing event for others that come this way.
He might have to start the LeVar Ball Institute.
Okay.
How do you do it like that?
You can do online courses just about with any college, university. Okay. Yep. So if getting an education is really important to him, he can still go ahead and get online or attend the college. But if he's overseas, which is a possible
he can market his
avenue brand. For him. Yeah, if he go to like a guy, Marbury, over in China, okay, they love him. The guy's worth millions of dollars.
Yes, sir.
In China. So he can take his show on the road and still, if he wanted to promote his education through online courses, he can do it. And he can come into the league with a degree, if that matters to anyone. Okay, so the NCAA has really painted themselves into a box for kids that are going to be entrepreneurs as they come. What about a kid that's a rapper, right? He play basketball, but he's also a talented artist.
Wow, he do shows on campus.
He can't come and play basketball on a scholarship, right?
He's making money.
Because he's making money. Can't do it.
That's what happened to J. Cole. J. Cole was that good. So he chose not to play basketball in college. And look at him now.
Really?
You know, J. Cole, that's, you know, your son generation. They like that.
Oh, yeah.
So imagine him. Because he was a hooper. Another one, 2 Chainz, was a good basketball player. They said he was going to be the next Anthony Hardaway.
Really?
Out of Memphis. Chainz. I seen video of him. He had that work. He could go.
Wow.
But he graduated from Georgia State with a 4.0. Cum laude.
Okay. See?
Look at that.
And making millions of dollars away from basketball.
But he was a baller. But he told he couldn't play because he's like, I'm doing this already. I'm making money doing this.
Yeah.
They're going to take my scholarship away.
Yeah, so I forced him to go that route, which worked out for him.
So that's going to bring out a whole lot of people. And it's like you said, it's going to start this new niche of a DeVry or what? Yep. Those little universities.
Yeah.
Online.
A little small. But, you know, the big university out in Arizona, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay, they have brick and mortars that you can attend. They got online. And there's many more out there that you can take advantage of if that's really something that you want to do as an individual is get your college education.
And let's look at it like this. Let's say the baller brand starts the Baller University, where you can have your own brand, you can play for his team, and you can go online school and you can start and get paid.
Right.
And you can have exhibition games with all the colleges.
Yep.
You got 20 game season.
We can have that international connection.
In the exhibitions.
And said, okay, you know, we'll let you take this player for X amount of weeks or whatever. You don't actually stay there, but they go in there and get that professional experience.
20 games.
In Europe.
And then right before the college season start, you play an exhibition game against the college teams.
Yeah, they're going to force these guys to come up with alternative methods.
Because people are going to want to see those kids play.
Yes.
Man, this is amazing. This is amazing. Yeah. So this is our show today talking about investing in yourself, and it's just amazing. I know for the holiday, Labor Day, we went to a wedding in Detroit. And just speaking of investing in yourself, always having friends that are prospering and growing is a good opportunity, especially being at a wedding. The way the wedding went, my friend DeMario Brown got married over the weekend. And we was at the wedding. It was at the Port Authority in Detroit. He's from the South Muskegon.
Okay.
From South Muskegon Heights. Okay. From the hood over there by Roosevelt. He's a silver engineer. But the people that's there, myself, I'm an educator, lawyers, salesmen, pharmaceutical people that work for the city of Detroit. I mean, if you've seen the people that was in this room, and I know his upbringing and where he's from, it was amazing. And the wedding, you know, my wife she would say, all right, we're going to leave, you know, it's regular wedding. Like, we're going to go somewhere else and hang out, see some of my friends about 8:30. I said, okay, I ain't say nothing.
Right.
So then I think some of her friends showed up. I said, they outside. And I was just looking at her like, go ahead. I said, you can go.
Go ahead. All right.
So I look up, it's 3:00 in the morning. We still at the wedding reception.
Dang, y'all was angry, man.
I mean, and 3:00. Then I'm just going to give him some props. I mean, everything was paid for. We had filet mignon, salmon, asparagus, desserts galore. I don't drink at all. It was open bar. You can walk to the bar, get whatever you want.
Wow.
Unlimited.
I know they was having them a good old time.
Man, where they, man?
And drinking and having fun.
And they were celebrating. I just seen so much love in that room. I'm just so proud of him. But that's the point of investing in yourself and showing someone that it's worth having you in my life. And when I add this helpmate to me, you're about to see where my life about to go. So I saw that in that ceremony that Sunday. The wedding was on a Sunday. And we had a good time, and I'm glad I made it to see that. So
good networking with folks that you haven't had a chance to see in a while, and find out what some of the things that they're doing.
Yep, make you want to do good. And I did make some business connections and everything, but that's the whole point of our show: investing in yourself, and then when that network shows back up,
right?
You're like, oh, we doing some of the same things. We still growing together, and it's good to see people that you went to college with and came from the same community that are growing in a positive way, not in a negative way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was big money in that room.
We know there's probably was a few in the room that wasn't in mainstream.
That's right.
Okay. No. They probably was doing other things to get paid.
That's right.
But yet, they still partook in the event.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, they were there. So it was people from all different flocks of life, and it was just a room full of love. So just looking at that.
It's awesome, man.
Just investing yourself. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, education is investing in yourself. You know, what the Balls are doing, whether that's you agree right. with it or not, okay, he is investing in his sons. And we always hear about dads that are absent.
Man.
Okay, here we got a dad that is out there up front, probably overbearing.
That's
but
right.
That's okay. I will take that over the absence of a dad.
And something I look at all the ways being in sales, like marketing products and services, is what's the product?
Okay.
What's the product he offering? Anybody can sell a shoe.
Anybody can sell a shoe.
It's Shaq's right there at Walmart.
Right.
Right? Shaq is good. Okay. Shaq's son is good.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between Shaq and LeVar Ball?
Marketing.
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 He is relevant. Every time he do something, he's relevant.
Yep. Whether you like him or not, when he speaks, people listen. I hear the sports talking heads talking about how they don't really particularly care about him. And they'll have a 30-minute conversation about it. And I'm thinking, do you hear yourself? You are doing what he wants you to do. By having a conversation about him is bringing attention to him that didn't cost him a dime. So whether you know it or not, you're promoting the Baller brand by having this discussion on your radio show, telling everybody how you dislike what he's doing.
That's right. So I got a key to success. So I'm looking at his key to success, and then the notes that I had today say, starting a business can make you a millionaire, but the risks are high. About half of new businesses fail within the first 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
Having a well-thought-out business plan is important, along with identifying a product or service that's in demand. That's been a critical factor in success. When you launch something, know your market, your concept, and who and what. And it's another thing that I've been reading a lot of books on being millionaires. It says, who has the money? That's the question you need to ask yourself when you invest in yourself. Who has the money? And get in that environment. If it requires you joining the Chamber of Commerce, it requires you joining a nonprofit sector or group. Because I was also on the phone with one of my friends, Kirk Mays. He's a CEO of Forgotten Harvest. And we grew up together in college also. He lived with me for like 3 months when he was trying to mature. And I look back over his life, and he's telling me, like, he said, make sure you get in the room with the people that you can answer this question, who has the money? And once you're in that room, those people ask specific questions, and they'll direct your purpose. Or they'll have the access to the liquid that you need. And he said, if you're spending your time with people that can't pay, eventually you can't pay.
You're wasting your time.
So you're not investing in yourself. And I was like, I said, wow. But he was like, he said, constantly reading, constantly getting up on the new things. And he called it, and obviously we was talking about the MMA fighting and the Irish guy and Floyd. And he said, when you're investing in yourself, it's like mixed martial arts. Knowing how to punch, how to box, how to kick, how to wrestle. He said, knowing how to do sales, how to do calls. You know, you're working as an insurance broker. The calls, the cold calls, the leads, the emails,
the referrals. Flyers,
the referrals.
Yeah.
Having mixed martial marketing.
Which means you're basically using every tool that you have available, be it your feet, your head, your hands, whatever, is basically what he's saying.
And he said, you have your ones. He said, some people say, oh, I do Facebook. Well, that's a stream. Everybody not on Facebook.
Nope.
Everybody not on Twitter.
Nope.
People still do the mailing circulations.
Yes, they do.
So he said, when you invest in yourself, you got to really exhaust all the opportunities. If you scared to cold call, you're missing a source of money.
Yeah.
And he said, most of the times, he said, when you cold call some, because he works in a nonprofit, he brought Jay Leno to Detroit a couple years ago. And he said, well, this is what he did. He said, I had a check for, he said, I needed to pay Jay Leno like $20,000 down payment for him to come, right? So he said, I didn't go to the other, to the GM, Ford, and all the other places and say, could you please drag Jay Leno here? He said, I'm going to pay Jay Leno $50,000. How many tickets you want?
Okay.
That's how he came to them.
Yeah.
And he said, when he came to them, they said, give me 100 tickets. Mm-hmm. Give me 50 tickets. How much more do you need? He said, he walked away where right now, when he looks at nonprofits and investing in himself, his name is good enough where he doesn't have to fill out a grant, where he doesn't have to go to a front of a board and ask for funds. He can just show up to meetings and they're like, what are you doing this year? How can we invest? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking at the Baller Brand. So it's just like being able to be around the people that say, who has the money, what product or service I'm providing to them, and how can I influence them to say, my thing, my product is what you need in your life, and it'll serve your purpose, and it'll make life better for you and the people around you. And I'm like, that message has been sticking with me, been sticking and sticking. I'm like, so that's what it is. Who has the money? It's not being greedy, mm-mm, but you're trying to be solution-based for people.
Unfortunately, in this country, those are the power brokers. Those are the ones that get things done. Those are the ones that influence others. Those are the ones that say, hey, you need to come on board with this program, so-and-so, all right? Instead of him just by himself, there's others that's going to follow him because people look up to him and they realize that when he gets involved into something, it's going to pay dividends one way or the other. And all he got to do is sign on and others will follow.
You're exactly right. So it says, here's another pointer. Developing a diverse group of customers is another market of a successful business,
yes,
especially if your goal is to scale up by licensing your product or service, selling franchises, or being bought out by a bigger company. So when you look at that, you're like, are you just in business to make a couple dollars?
Mm-mm.
Or you're in business to say, one day I'm going to sell this business, and all it was an idea out of my head, it's going to be worth millions, and I can walk away with a compensation where I can start another one of these.
Mark Cuban, Yahoo.
Man, ridiculous.
All right. Billionaire now. Just off of one single product, a website called Yahoo.
I got a quote from him in the book, too. He said, master the sale.
Master the sale.
Say anything you do, master the sale. I walked into school this morning. And this show recorded on Saturdays. I walked into school this morning, and I saw the secretary. I said, I need my list. I need my client and my customer list.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why do you call them that?
I said,
if I value them as if they're a client or customer, I'll give them the service they need where they'll go home and tell their parents that, wow, I thought Mr. Williams was this way, but I like being in this environment.
It's a shift in paradigm.
And they'll go tell another kid, they'll go tell their parents that, mm-hmm, it's a place worth being.
Yeah.
You got to go there next year.
Yeah. So we've already been programmed to teach students, but have we been programmed to treat them like customers and clients, because that's what they are.
That's what they are. I tell them every day, I work for them.
Yeah. You got school of choice.
That's right.
Right? So you have a choice where you go and get an education. And it's all predicated on how that system treats you and looks at you. And if you're going to treat me as a student, which has some probably negative connotation, versus a customer or a client, you're apt to get a better response when you treat them as a customer or client versus a student. A student is a number, and that's what we're dealing with, is numbers, because we want to make sure we get our funding and yada, yada, yada. But if you use that approach, that's going to attract more students.
That's right. And
at
then
the end of the day, you don't have to worry about numbers.
You're right. You don't have to worry about, and that's going into my final note, Tony. In an article that I have, it says, invest in yourself. When you get your business to a certain extent or a certain point, you're not trying to just get leads. You're not just trying to get clients. You're trying to get quality.
Yeah, retention.
It's qualitative and quantitative. And you're trying to say, I could get this client right here for this amount, or I can get this student that's here, but I'm looking for a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a certain way to retain quality testimonies. So when I retain that quality testimony, it'll keep on feeding my profession or the services I provide for people, and now that business will thrive off word of mouth. And that's going back to the mixed martial arts.
Interesting you said that, because we coined that person as the confident planner. Okay, that's who we look for. We look for that person that understands what it is to plan from personal goals, lifestyles, financial, and they value insurance. Those people are the ones you want, because you get a slight increase. They're not picking up the phone and saying, hey, my bill went up $5. What's going on? they understand the concept of business,
inflation,
and providing that it's incremental, they're okay with that. But they understand that they're purchasing a service, okay? And they're not leaving you because you provided them superior service through communication than they've been used to getting. So you're absolutely right. There is a segment of the population that we have chosen to go after, which is the confident planner.
Right. Two situations before we sign off today. before I came into the show today, I was talking to a young lady that I've been trying to land as a client, because I do the mixed martial arts. I've been trying to land her as a client for like 3 months, okay?
Okay.
So I finally get to the point where she's ready to spend the money, right? But then she started talking about the concept of her bills and things that she had front loaded and trying to do this service to help her become debt free or deal with her creditors through loan debt, right? So I'm talking to her and she's mentioning to me, and I'm like, see, I'm ready. I'm like, hold on. I had to ask, some of my spirit told me to ask one more question. I was like, are you tithing? She said, no. And she said, I did your service before, but I only did it for 2 months. I was like, ah. I say, you got to go 3, 6, 9, 12 to see significant changes, because the way the market is set up with the credit repair and the three reporting agencies. I say, well, I didn't, things changed too volatile for me. I was like, well, you got to tithe first. You got to sow your seed first so you can create this abundance mindset that God has. So if you put him first in your gifting and your seed sowing, he'll put you first and he'll give you the promise.
Okay.
And she said, that's funny that you reached out to me all these months and now you're refusing to take my money because you're trying to redirect me into a sower.
Okay.
She said, I'm going to do what you said and I'm going to call you back in December and I'm going to be ready for you. But she said, I've never had that happen to me where somebody was after me so much and they wanted me to sow a seed. I said, I want you to be a quality client for me, mm-hmm. where you will give a testimony, a video testimony, or you'll tag me to a message on Facebook, or you'll tell your mother about me.
Mm-hmm.
I say, if you do that or tell somebody at church about me after I help you, that's what I'm into.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not into taking your money. Mm-hmm. I want to be a friend of yours that you can always reach out, because once I connect you to financial literacy, mm-hmm. and getting your credit image back on track, you're going to tell somebody. And you're going to say, he's a blessed man to talk to, and he got me to pay my tithes before I invested in his business. And then that's when the overflow comes in.
That's it.
So that's the portion there. And then, like you said, word of mouth and trusting somebody in insurance. And, you know, I was with someone, they was talking about their insurance agent. And I think my wife, she tried to ask them to get them to come over with Farmers, right?
Right.
And they mentioned the relationship. It's like, well, I was with him when he started. And this person, when I needed my car jumped, the tow man didn't come. He came.
Okay.
I was like,
that's it.
He said, he's not like that now. But I got this narrative with him, mm-hmm. that I know he's for me and my family. Yeah. My kids practically grew up with him. Yep. And I know you had that relationship with your
clients.
Absolutely,
man.
So
absolutely.
And that's the second time I heard that. My friend as a CEO said, people don't buy the business. They don't buy the product. They buy your leadership skills and your character and your integrity.
That's exactly right.
And once they purchase that, that's a lifetime goal. Because on back of the dollar, it says, in God we trust.
In God we trust.
Even though it's man-made, it's a system that's created to see if I can trust you with the relationship that we hold.
Very true. Very true in this business. So, but I applaud your wife for reaching out.
She getting to the business.
That's how we teach.
Yeah, I see that. You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job training, man.
Anytime you got a captive audience, let them know what you're involved in.
Yep, she was banging. Yeah, she's doing her thing.
You do it, man. You don't have to be overbearing.
She wasn't. She was smooth.
Why didn't you tell me you was doing such and such? Yep. Okay, just put it out there.
Yeah, she was smooth.
Yeah, well, I knew she was.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.